102 tonight. I won't be long. I won't finish this sermon either because it's got too many good things. Now, I want to tell you this much. I am not responsible for all the searching that went into this message. Some other brothers spent 5 years doing this, searching this out. And it just thrilled my soul. And I just had to take the time to copy his notes and take his points of thought. I believe God gave them to him. I believe he got it by studying, and I don't see anything wrong with that. I've seen other preachers take my notes and preach some of the things I've said. I have no privy to a message from God. If it's from God, it's for everybody. And I've used many other men's thoughts and things, and so we're going to use this brother. I don't even know this brother. Never met him. His name is Brother Jones, but I can tell you one thing. He got something here that just thrilled my soul, and it has nothing to do with the end time church. It has to do with identifying with Christ. That's what I want to talk about, identifying with Christ. In other words, finding yourself in Christ by finding simultaneous characteristics. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. In other words, if you don't have some things that shows that Christ lives in you, that his action, his mannerism, his mold is in you, then you're not really a Christian. People say to me, one time a man said to me, Jesus never acted the way you act. You know, when they see me sometimes get angry or rage. I said, why don't you take time to study the life of Christ? Now, Jesus did not always act angry, but there were many incidences where he got angry. Very, very seriously angry. Now, there was times when he was greatly compassionate. Other times when he just showed such long suffering. Other times he just had such manifestations of grace. But he did show a side that most people don't want to accept. Now, I'm going to read from the first verse of Psalms 102 down to the 10th verse. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Thank God for that. Incline thy ear unto me in the day when I call, answer me speedily. How many like to have God answer you a little quicker sometimes? Huh? I know sometimes he made me wait. Sometimes I was wondering why he made me wait so long. Have you ever had God make you wait? Huh? Just didn't answer? David says here, incline thy ear unto me in the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke. My bones are burned as a hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Oh, David was going through it, wasn't he? By reason of the voice of my groanings, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they are mad against me. They are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread, and mingled my drink with weeping. Because of thine indignations and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and then cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. Now, I don't think that's... You notice there's not too many people memorize the 102nd Psalm? Now, the 23rd Psalm, boy, we like that one, don't we? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, huh? Just about everybody in town knows the 23rd Psalm, right? But not too many people have taken too much time to memorize the 102nd Psalm or take too much time to read it, because it's just full of gruesome things, isn't it? David was going through something here. Now, if you had to be like anybody in the Old Testament, would you not have chosen purposely to be like David? You know, David was the only man in the whole Bible that God said is a man after my own heart. Now, I could stand here all night and show you things about David that were just diabolic and sinful and wicked. The guy had 8 wives, no telling how many concubines he had. He committed adultery, he committed murder. He was a scallywag. We wouldn't even tolerate the guy today. We'd never let him get in the pulpit. Surely he wouldn't get licensed by our churches. Yet God said, here's a man after my own heart. Now, we have misunderstood that sometimes. What God was saying about David, that in the midst of all of his sin, his heart constantly sought after God. He deplored and hated his sin. He hated his own wickedness, and he cried out, "My God, I've sinned." And he constantly kept seeking after God. Oh, you know, that's the secret. That's the secret in your weaknesses and your failures and your troubles, that somehow you seek God. The Bible said to seek God is the beginning of wisdom. Go through your trials, go through your heartaches, your disappointments, and everything you go through. But in the going through, make sure you're seeking God. David was a man after God's heart. That means he wanted to get a heart like God. Didn't he finally say one time, "Created me a clean heart. The one I got's no good. Give me one like you, God. Give me a heart like you have. Renew a right spirit within me. Give me your spirit, God." Oh, hallelujah. Well, now here's David going through a trial here. And all of a sudden, he begins to identify with Christ. You know, the Bible said Jesus was a man of sorrows. And now, not many folk want to identify with that, do they? Come on now. Every one of us have had our sorrows. We don't like to think about them, but let me ask you a question. Which do you think has done you more good, your blessings or your sorrows? What do you think has produced character out of you? Produced determination out of you? What do you think has given you moralistic standards? Your sorrows, your burdens, or your blessings? Always your sorrows. Always your sorrows. Always your heartaches. When there was nothing else to hold on to, some invisible strength inside of you would rise up. And you say, "I don't know how I made it. How did I come through that?" Come on. You look back and it don't seem near as bad as it was when you was in it. That sorrow produced something. Now the scriptures tell us that we ought to search the scriptures. Jesus said this himself. He said, "You search the scriptures. Just read them. Read them all. Read them from Genesis to Revelation. Just search them. Look them out. Read every story." Some of them are, terrible stories. You know, like the one where the father-in-law, hired his own daughter-in-law as she was a harlot. Remember the story where, I don't know if you know about it, but she married his sons and his sons died, and so he told her to go live in his house, and he said, "Well, my youngest son grows up, I'll give you him to be your husband," but the son grew up and he married somebody else, and here she's an old woman now, or getting up in middle age, she ain't got no child, so she goes out and she betrays her father-in-law as a harlot, and gets him to lie with her. That's a terrible, horrid story. Jesus said, "Search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life." Well, how in the world can you find Christ in a story like that? He said, "All they do is testify of me." How in the world do you find Christ in a story where a harlot, a woman, lies to her own granddad, and he goes and he even lies with her. He went to bed with her and produced a child by her. That's a horrid story, isn't it? How do you find Christ in that? Well, you see, there's only two things the Bible teaches you, no matter how you want to look at it, that all men are sinners. That every time you look at anybody in the Bible, you're going to find an incident, a sin. They sinned. They failed against God. And then the Bible teaches Christ saves men from their sins. That's what the Bible talks about when it says, "Search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life," but there's no life in the scriptures. There's only life in Christ. Hallelujah! He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. A lot of folk have the scripture, but they don't have life. And there's some folk who can't even read the Bible, but they have life. They have it. So, he says, "Search the scriptures. They testify of me." In other words, the word reveals Christ or makes him known. Now, the Bible says that he's known as a lion. Scriptures call him the lion of the tribe of Judah. Of course, we all know that the lion is the king of beasts. Bible calls him an eagle. Did you know that Jesus was also called a burning bush? He was identified as a burning bush. Oh, come on, Brother Stair. Why, when Moses walked up to the bush, the voice said, "I am the God of thy fathers." Who is I am? I am that I am. We all know that's Jesus, so here he's identified as a burning bush. If you could understand the characteristics of a burning bush, you would get a concept of Christ. You know what a burning bush does? Always attracts attention. Always gets rid of rubble. And when it's done, it always purifies the spot where it burned. You let Christ the burning bush get a hold of you. When he gets done, you'll be attracting attention. Somebody say, "What happened to you?" When he gets done with you, you'll get rid of the rubble in your life. And when he's done burning, he'll have you pure. Lord God Almighty. That was so good of him to go shout a little bit. And then the Bible called him the cedars of Lebanon. See? And then it called him a shepherd, a lowly keeper of the sheep. But perhaps the greatest identification of Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now in our text tonight, in our scripture reading, he's called other things, believe it or not. Now you're going to have a problem with this because I did for a while. See, David is talking, but we know that David was a type of Christ. If you study the life of David, he was a type of Christ. And so when David starts to identify himself, he's given us an identity of Christ. Aren't you supposed to be a type of Christ? Amen. How does the world identify Christ? By identifying you. Amen. So when you find David beginning to give statements concerning himself, he's giving statements concerning Christ. Now let's look at one statement he makes in this book, in this chapter. It's in verse 6 and 7. I am. See the I am? I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Now there are three descriptions that David gives to identify his feelings, his emotions, his characteristics, and his purpose. And in those three descriptions, he identifies Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to just take one of them. Now I told you I did not do the research with this, but it's beautiful. This man spent 5 years and I just got captivated by it. He says, I am like an owl of the desert. I am like an owl of the desert. Now that sort of bothered me for a while because we in recent years have found out that owls are a symbol of witchcraft. We actually tell people to get owls out of their homes. It's a known fact now that witchcraft uses two animalistic objects, the frog and the owl. They are used greatly by the Satan's church. You go to flea markets or anyone, watch the owls and the frogs. You'll see them sitting almost everywhere. Somebody's got an owl or a frog. Now you watch how much you notice it now since I told it to you. Go into a home and watch the owls on the walls. You watch. See, Satan uses things just like God uses things. So when I saw this description of God being an owl, it bothered me. But you see, what I'm saying is that witchcraft makes owls little gods. So necessarily, it would demonstrate the fact that God himself is like an owl. You've heard the old saying, wise as an owl. So Satan would try to counterfeit it, wouldn't he? Now the most significant thing about owls is that there is over 150 different species of them. And that's what's confusing most people. We heard of the hoot owl, the screech owl, the barn owl. That's about it. And most of the time, they have always been frightening to people. But there's over 150 different species of owls. And here in this reference, he says, I am not just an owl. I am like an owl in the desert. Well, there is an owl called the desert owl. When you study about all the other owls, you find one called the desert owl, or the owl of the desert. These are they which testify of me. Do you know the owl of the desert is the biggest owl there is? The biggest owl, 4 feet tall. He's bigger than all the other owls. Go ahead, Satan. Have your little owls. I'm the biggest one. I'm the greatest one. Go ahead. Have your little gods. But I am the great God. 4 feet tall. Huh? Go and bow down to your little 2 foot owls. Bow down to your little man-made owl. But I am the greatest, the biggest. 4 feet tall. His wingspan is 9 feet. Across. He flies faster than any other bird. Can't be beat. Moves quicker, moves faster. And the most remarkable thing about this bird, this owl, is the only one of the bird species, including even the little hummingbird that you see so many times standing in midair. You ever see the hummingbird standing in midair out here? That's a remarkable thing, isn't it? But this owl can fly straight up. Straight down. In every direction. He don't fly like that. He flies straight up. Isn't that sort of like Jesus? He can go up, down, everywhere. Lord God Almighty. He can actually hover in midair. Listen, this is a bird 4 feet tall, 9 foot wingspan, can fly straight up in the air. Straight up, just straight up. At a moment's notice, just go straight up. And then just hover in the air. He's the greatest owl. The owl of the desert. Well, I guess you're not going to get excited about it as I did. I start to listen to those characteristics. He's the only living bird, who can fly completely across the Atlantic Ocean without stopping. There is no mountain that is too high for him to fly over. There is no river, no lake, no ocean that's too wide that he cannot compass it. Lord God Almighty. He said, I'm like the owl of the desert. I'm not just a little hoot owl or a screech owl or a barn owl. I'm the owl of the desert, the greatest of the birds, the tallest, the greatest, the fastest. Hallelujah. And I have no limits. I can fly anywhere. Nothing can stop me. Oh, the things that this man's found by studying about the owl of the desert just set my soul on fire. Really did. Now, let's identify. Let's identify this owl. The color of the owl. The color. You know, here is in God's Word identifying a characteristics of Jesus Christ. And he says, I am like the owl of the desert. Now, this owl is 4 feet tall, the biggest of all the owls. Got a 9 foot wingspan, fly faster than any other bird. When I tell you how fast he flies, you're going to be shocked. When I tell you how high he has been clocked to fly, you're going to be shocked. I won't get that today. I'll come back tomorrow morning to get that part. I got too much to get to before I get there. When I tell you how high he is flying, you will be out of your, you can't believe it. But his color. Have you ever seen an owl? Every one of the owls, except this one, is gray, dark gray, dirty gray, brown, brownish gray. They all look like death. They got the color of death. But this owl, all of his outward feathers are a beautiful red. It glows in red shining feathers. Oh, hallelujah. He stands out in the midst of everything. Come on, red. Come on, hallelujah. Huh? And you know his breast? 4 feet tall now on his breast. His breast, all the way down, is snowy white. Just as white as can be. And a remarkable thing on his breast. A remarkable thing. Listen close now. Just to the center of his heart, about an inch and a half, is a little spot, 1 inch long, 1 inch wide, and it is blood red. All the rest of his body, on the front part, is snowy white. All the other feathers on his back are red, yet this one little spot right over his heart is blood red. I'm like the owl of the desert. He had a seamless robe on his back. He portrayed whiteness of snow, but he also had a pierced heart, and blood came forth. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know. Now, if you think that ain't amazing, the owl of the desert, around his head, just above his ears, around his head, here he is all red and all white, but around his head, in brownish gold feathers, about an inch wide, is a crown. And these are made of little brown gold feathers, and every one of them are sharper than a thorn. I'm the owl of the desert. Who else bore the crown of thorns? You know, God has tried so many ways to reveal himself to mankind. Look at how every little detail of this particular owl points to the resurrected Christ, to the Savior of the world, to the Lamb of God. I'm the owl of the desert. I'm not just a little old hoot owl or screech owl or barn owl. I'm the owl, the king of owls. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, well, never mind. I'm going to go ahead. Y'all just sit there and listen while I go ahead and preach, all right? Let's look at his wings now. Almost unbelievable. His left wing has 16 major permanent feathers. 16. Every one of them are equal. in diameter, in shape, and in form. 16. One of them, right at the tip of his left wing, is only half as large. They're all about an inch long. But the other one is only half as large. Listen to me carefully now. So he's got 16 perfectly formed feathers on the left wing, except one is only half as large, right at the tip, and it has no point to it. But on the right wing, he has 17 perfectly formed feathers. 17. 17 all equal. 17 and 16 is how much? And how much is the little one? Half. How long did Christ live? 33 and a half years. You didn't hear what I said. 16 and a half feathers on the left wing. 17 on the right. And the Son of Man lived 33 and a half years upon the face of the earth. He's the owl of the desert. The owl of the desert. You wonder why I got excited about this? You wonder why I had to say, man, they might accuse me of stealing, but I won't steal this. This is too good not to. He spent 5 years searching this out. He said he read 15, 16 books. He said, I just couldn't believe what I was reading about the owl of the desert. You know what else they have defined in the encyclopedias about this bird? He is the oldest owl. They cannot pinpoint his beginning. They cannot find his origin. Where did he come from? Most other species, they can pinpoint where they were born, where they were originated. But the owl, this desert owl, they cannot find where... Oh, Lord have mercy. I don't know if I'm making you understand what I'm saying. Jesus said, I'm without father, without mother, without beginning, without ending. They cannot identify the origin of this desert owl. The only way you're going to know this King of Kings and Lord of Lords is not through a history book, but it's going to be through faith. Amen. Now look at this. His tail feathers. Remarkable. His tail feathers, 12 of them, 12 permanent tail feathers that never drop out. Then there's one that comes every year, stays for a while, and then drops out. 12 feathers, permanent ones, in his tail. 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles. Was there one that came for a while and then dropped out? And notice how they're behind the bird, not in front of the bird. Huh? The 12 apostles and the 12 tribes were behind Christ. Behind, y'all better listen now. Y'all can talk when you go home. I'm saying too many good things to miss what I'm saying here. While you're talking, you'll miss one of these feathers. These 12 feathers. Now notice this. They're always behind him. Tail feathers are always behind. He's the head. He's the leader. Lord God Almighty. I wish somebody say praise the Lord. He's up front. He has preeminence. He's the great I. Lord have mercy. Somebody say hallelujah. You know that he can fly without the tail feathers? But the tail feathers can't fly without him. He can make it without us. We just can't make it without him. Now here is absolutely an unbelievable thing about this owl of the desert. Underneath these 12 feathers. Underneath. Oh, listen close now. Come on, I'm doing good here tonight. Don't let it slip by on you. Underneath. You can't see them. Underneath the 12 feathers. Underneath the apostles. Underneath the prophets. Come on. Underneath the foundation stones. Come on. Huh? Underneath the 12 are innumerable amount of small downy feathers. They say there are so many of them that there's no way to really count them. Underneath white downy feathers. White. Oh. Didn't John say he saw a multitude that no man could number who had made their robes white? Hallelujah. In the blood of the Lamb. Somebody say praise the Lord. These little soft downy feathers, and they can't be seen because they're hid. They're hid by the 12 feathers of the tail. They can't be counted. They said they've never been able. They can count the feathers in the wing, count the feathers on the stomach, count the feathers in the tail. but these are so many that they just, and they're so small, that they just can't count them. Well, I'm about done with what I'm going to talk about tonight. I got one more thing and then I'll pick it up tomorrow morning. Hope I'm getting enough to make you want to come back. What about her mate? The mate. The mate looks just like him. Identical except for one thing. No spot. Hallelujah. He died. We didn't die. He died. He's the one that paid the price. The mate looks identical to him, except no red spot on the breast. He is one of the few birds, in fact, maybe only the bird, that mates for life. He does not ever choose another mate. Once he makes his choice, he lives with her till he dies, or she dies. Never leave you, nor forsake you. Not only does he not leave her, but he does not allow her to feed herself. He feeds her. He goes and gets the food and he feeds it to her. Oh, and feed me, Jesus. Come on. He doesn't allow her to go pick her own food. He goes and picks the food. And then he never feeds her anything without first tasting it himself. Ain't no way going to poison his mate. Ain't no way going to mess up his mate. Come on, he feeds her. She will not eat just anything. So therefore, she has never been trapped. She cannot be trapped. Because she only eats what he brings to her. See, if you let Christ feed you, you won't be trapped. You won't be trapped. You get God's word, you won't get trapped. You go out and try to feed yourself, now you're going to get some bad meat somewhere. You'll get some polluted steak somewhere. Yeah, you are some rotten eggs. But you just let the old master. You know what else he does? He does not just feed her directly. He doesn't go out here and pick up a piece of food and stick it in her mouth. He eats it. He chews it. He swallows it. He digests it. Then he brings it back up and gives it to her already digested. Already. Already chewed up. Lord God Almighty. Somebody ought to hear me. Wasn't he first? Wasn't he tempted at all points? Did he not endure all things? Did he not take on all burdens? Come on. He knows what you need. He knows what your burden is. He knows what you feel. Oh, hallelujah. He has tasted death for every man. Isn't that what Jesus did?
Amen.
You know what else he does? You're not going to believe this. Absolutely unbelievable. Until he has, and you want to hear me talk about how many eggs this woman, this little mate can lay in one sitting. I'm going to pick it up tomorrow morning. You want to be here? But until he has an offspring, he feeds her. He individually feeds her. You listen carefully to me. He does this like I told you. He eats it, digests it, brings it back up, and feeds it to her already digested. But once he has an offspring, he then eats it, digests it, brings it back up, and he gives it to a male offspring to feed his mother. Not a female. Somebody says, oh, God uses women. Yeah, to lay eggs. See, he's teaching the young male how to assume his responsibility. Did Jesus give the food to a female to give to the church? Or did he give it to a male? Now, we don't like that today, do we? We don't like that in our modern society, do we? We want to say that the woman's role has changed and she's equal to a man now. And God used her like he does a man. He does not. He never has and he never will. She has a purpose and her purpose is an honorable one.
Amen.
I'm sick and tired of the world trying to destroy the purpose by which God made a woman. A helpmeet to a man. A woman to help man do what God demands of him to do. He gives it to a male. He never gives it to a female. Isn't that what Jesus did? Didn't he first feed the people? But then after he finally got his apostles, he blessed the bread, he broke it, and he gave it to them to give to the people. What's the bread? Didn't Jesus first speak the word? And then he said, now you are going to do it. Well, he's now given the word to his male offspring. Y'all got excited about some of the other things until I get on that little subject right there, and all of a sudden, boy, that can stop them cold.
Can't God use a woman like he does a man?
Sure, he can use a jackass like he does a man. He has, you know. He has, but he doesn't make a rule of it. You don't use a jackass once, you know. Come on, folk. He didn't make a rule of using jackasses. Come on! Yeah, he used Deborah. Sure, but only once. Only once. You know, he didn't make a practice of using a woman to rule over men. He didn't make a practice of it. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Hello. You know, it's remarkable when you study the blueprint of God in the world today. I'm going to pick up this tomorrow. If you come back, I'll finish it. The Lord be my helper. I just got so overwhelmed with these few things. It just amazed me. Let me just tell you about her eggs. I'll tell you that much about her eggs. She lays 12 to 24 eggs at one sitting. She don't just lay one egg. God ain't just producing one child.
Amen.
He produces. She sits on that nest and zoom, 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 zoom. She lays eggs.
Amen.
The true church is a producer. And when she gets done, she don't produce buzzards. When she gets done, she produces desert owls.
Amen.
To as many receive him, he gives right to become sons of God,
yeah.
Not buzzards. Not chicken hawks.
Amen.
Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
Giant owls who are above all the others. Different than the rest. Like their daddy. Hallelujah. Not like their mama. Like their daddy. They can't be fed with anything. They will not eat anything. I am like the owl of the desert. Well, I'm glad he said that. If he'd have just said an owl, he'd had me in trouble. Most owls fly at night. Now, you don't want to come back and find out that this one doesn't fly at night at all.
All right.
And the reason he don't fly at night, the reason owls don't fly in the daytime is because their eyes cannot stand the sun. This one can fly directly into the sun. Right at it. Sun don't bother him. He's brighter than the noonday sun. He will outshine the sun. In the city they'll need no sun. Hallelujah! Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh yeah! I'm like the owl of the desert, not the hoot owl. That sits in a tree in the middle of the night and goes hoot, hoot, hoot. Or the screech owl that goes, ah! For the barn owl that goes, hmm, hmm, hmm. No, sir. He sings a majestic song. I'm like the owl of the desert. This guy's got me stirred up. He said he also studied the pelican. That would be an interesting study, too.
Yeah.
I think you're going to go check on the pelican, aren't you?
Have to check on that.
And he said God was like a sparrow that sits alone on the roof. It's remarkable when God uses birds. He picks the strange ones to identify himself. Now you know why he said there's not a sparrow that falls to the ground. Because he identified with the sparrow. I'm like the sparrow who sits all alone. Lord God. On the rooftop. Come on. So that when there's one sparrow falls to the ground, your heavenly Father sees it. Why? Didn't that one sparrow, the sparrow that sat alone, that hung alone on the cross, didn't he fall? Didn't he fall? Didn't he fall? Didn't he die? Didn't that one sparrow that sat alone on the rooftop? Oh, God help me. Come on. I didn't get this out of the man's book. I'm getting this direct from the glory world here. Come on, amen. I'm like the sparrow that sits alone on the rooftop. Did Jesus stand alone? Hung between heaven and earth? Did he say there's not one sparrow that falls at your heavenly Father? Did he see him? Did he see that one sparrow?
Uh-huh.
Hey, I told you I didn't get this out of the book. I'm getting this direct from the... Did he see that one sparrow? Did he see that one sparrow that fell?
Amen.
And he said, how much better are you than a sparrow?
Amen.
Because of him you live.
Amen.
Because of him you can live. Come on, amen. Because he saw that one sparrow, you are better than a sparrow. Now you, hallelujah, can live. Boy, I better go study that sparrow some more. I like that. Huh? I'm like the sparrow that sits alone on the rooftop. Huh? You know, most sparrows fly together. You know, whenever there's false gods around, there's hardly ever just one. There's always a conglomerate of false gods. If they have one false god, they have many. But he is the one who sat alone on the rooftop. No other god like me. No other sparrow like me. Come on. Notice what I'm saying to you. Lord, he says, I'm like the pelican, like the owl of the desert, like the sparrow that sits alone on the rooftop. Now, when you're feeling alone, huh? Seems like nobody cares. I get that all the time. Brother Stair, seems like I'm all alone. Huh? Jesus said, why hast thou forsaken me? He's almost all alone. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You want to come back and let me talk more about that mate and about where this bird has been found and how he has done things. Tremendous, absolutely unbelievable. No wonder the Bible says not one jot or one tittle, not one little dot. Every dot in my word has a meaning. Every little tittle, every cross of the T. Hallelujah. He says, and heaven and earth will pass away, but in my word reveals God. In one heaven declare the glory of God. 250 billion stars in this galaxy alone. 250 billion. 250 billion. You would never live long enough to count the 250 billion. You would be dead 1,000 years before you got close to it. And yet God names every star by its own name. And every star in the sky is bigger than the sun. He buried your sins in the sea of his forgetfulness. Do you know that man can tell you how far it is to the sun, to the moon, to the stars? Do you know that? But they can't tell you how deep is the ocean. They have never, ever been able to fathom the depth of the ocean. Oh, certain areas they can go to the bottom, but they haven't been able to get to the bottom of the bottom. He can't go down there. They can go in space and hurl around to Mars, but they can't go to the depths of the sea. You know why? Because it's God who's got to give you the knowledge to go anywhere. And he forgot where that's at. He buried your seed in the sea of his forgetfulness. So how's he going to reveal something he forgot?
All right.
Come on, everything man gets you. Comes from God. Huh?
Yeah.
God, how can I get to the depths of the sea? I don't know. I forgot.
All right.
You people weren't here last night, but I started to preach a sermon. I'm going to finish this morning. The text was taken from Psalms 102, verses 1 through 10. And the text verse was verses 6 and 7. When David here was going through a time of trial and disappointment, and he cried out, I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. And as I told you last night, David was a type of Jesus Christ. And when he's talking about sorrows and heartaches and burdens, he is identifying with Christ. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He knew what it meant to be hurt. He knew what it meant to weep, to cry, to feel compassion. He knew what it meant. And so here David, in one of his moments of despondency and discouragement, he cries, I'm like a pelican. I'm like an owl in the desert. A descriptive phrase identifying Jesus Christ. How to identify with Christ. Now, I haven't taken the time to study the pelican or even the sparrow. I told you last night that most of this I got from another brother who spent 5 years studying about the owl of the desert. I'm like the owl of the desert. And you can find the type, the characteristics, the mannerisms of Jesus Christ in the Isle of the Desert. Now, when I first heard this particular thing, it troubled me because we have learned, like I said last night, that the owl, in most cases, represents a demonic thing. The demonic witchcraft forces use owls, and they use frogs. But we understand that everything the devil uses, he stole it. Everything. That's what we talk about communities. People talk about us having Christian communities, because we believe in community lifestyle. We don't know why this place is not filled with Christians, but we believe that Christians ought to live together in one great... That's part of the apostolic doctrine. I challenge the apostolic preachers everywhere. I say, you ain't preaching the apostolic doctrine. All you preach is Acts 2:38. That's all you preach. The apostolic doctrine is sell what you have. Lay it at the apostles' feet. No man has anything he calls his own. Nobody lacks anything. That's the apostolic doctrine. That's what they did. They continued steadfastly in the apostolic teaching. Christian church today don't do that. They will. As God separates us. People say to me, well, all the cults live as communities. Sure they do. The Moonies, the Hare Krishnas, they all live as communities. And they're all successful. They all got money. They all make an impact on society wherever they are. Now where and who runs the cults? We know the devil's the father of the cults. The devil's a thief. Where did he learn that lifestyle? He stole it from God. Amen. It was the lifestyle that God ordained for the church to have. Amen. The lifestyle that most of you and I live is the lifestyle that the world gave us. Have your own home, your own car, spend your own money, live your own life. That's the way the world does it. They have their own homes. They live their own lives. They mind their own business. You can't do that and be a Christian. You must be concerned about your brother. You are your brother's keeper. No man lives to himself or dies to himself. You are involved in a church. Yet most of us, because we've accepted the world's lifestyle. Come on. What do you think the Christian church is in trouble today? They live just like the world. Yes, they do. They take on 30-year mortgages. They buy cars and pay tremendous interest rates. They run to the same doctors the world runs to. They shop the same way the world shops. In most cases, the church even dresses like the world. The styles and the fashions of the world. Well, it's the truth and you know it. Amen. So we find in the Bible where God identified himself in many different ways because he's dealing with a versatile of people. He identifies himself. Trying to reveal himself. He said, search the scriptures. Look at them. Read them. Well, here in Psalms 102 and in verse 6, he said, I'm like the owl of the desert. Now search that out. Search that out. Search that out. A pelican or a sparrow alone on a housetop. That's how God identifies himself. What's the characteristic? What's the method of a sparrow alone on a housetop? I went through that last night. I like that too well. Huh? But the owl. The owl of the desert, you see, there are over 150 different species of the owl. And in most cases, nobody thinks very much of the owl. It's a creature of the dark. Its color is gray or brown or dingy, mostly represents death. But he didn't say, I'm just an owl. I'm the owl of the desert. It lives only in one place. Thomas asked me this last night, where do you find them at? And I went back and checked. It lives only in the Palestine area. It doesn't live any place else in the world. It can live every place else in the world, but it chose to live in the Palestine area. This owl stands 4 feet tall. I'm going to go through this real quick for these people who weren't here last night. He stands 4 feet tall. He's the biggest owl there is. 4 feet. 4 feet tall. He's bigger than all the other owls. So the devil has his little owls, his little gods, but he's the God of gods. He's the Lord God Almighty. Tell me something. Will you people help me out? What has to be said to touch your joy bone? What has to be said to, is the truth of God so complicated that some little simple truth like that can't set your soul on fire? I just told you he was the biggest owl of all owls. Stands 4 feet tall. And his color, all the other owls are gray or brown, but his color, on the outside, the feathers are beautiful red. Colorful bird, ain't it? His breast is snowy white. The male bird, to the left of his breast, over his heart, he has a spot, 1 inch long, 1 inch wide, blood red. I'm the owl of the desert, God said. I'm the owl of the desert. He said, you want to understand me? Look at this owl. Bigger than all the other owls. Hallelujah. Come on. Bigger than all the other owls. I am the biggest one there is. I'm the greatest one. Beside me, there! Why, you put any, if you took all the other 50 owls and put them next to this one, you would say they ain't owls. They might hoot like an owl, squeak like an owl, but this is an owl here. You take all these other gods, these Hindu gods, the sun god, the moon god, come on, and put them next to this god. They ain't gods at all. Hallelujah. They ain't no god at all. Where was that story in the Bible where they brought the Ark of the Covenant in and all the false gods just fell right on their face? All them wooden gods that they made, even though they had no life, they fell down and broke to pieces in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. You mark it down. Now this owl of the desert can fly straight up. He can, from a standing spot, he can go straight up. He can come straight down. He's able to fly in a vertical position. He's able to also hover in midair. Oh, you know the Lord, when he went up, he went straight up. When he comes back, he's coming straight down. And yet he's everywhere at the same. Lord have mercy. What has somebody got to do to touch your joy bone this morning? The Bible calls God the lion, the eagle, the lamb. Calls him a burning bush, the cedars of Lebanon, the shepherd, the king of kings, and the Lord of lords. But here he identifies himself as the owl of the desert. This owl's wingspan is 9 feet. Under his wing shalt thou trust. Hallelujah. Come on. His truth, the truth about this bird, will be your shield and your buckler. Come on, under his wing shalt thou trust. On the left wing, of this owl, there are 16 uniform permanent feathers. 16. At the tip of this left wing is one more little feather. It's half as long as the rest of the feathers, only it doesn't have its point. It's rounded off. It's incomplete. So we have 16 and one half feathers on the left wing of this bird. On the right wing, we have 17 perfectly formed equal feathers. Now notice that. 17. The number does not vary. It does not change. 17 and 16 and a half is 33 and a half. How long did Jesus live? When did he die? At the age of 33 and a half. So he said, I'm like the Lord, have mercy. I'm like the owl of the desert. His tail feathers. The tail feathers of this bird, there are 12 of them. Just 12. Perfectly permanent feathers. They never fall out. And then there's a 13th one that comes, stays for a while, and falls out. It does it every year. Well, we all know what 12 stands for. 12 tribes of Israel. 12 apostles. And was there one apostle who came for a while and fell out? Was there one who was joined to Christ for a while and then fell away? We all know about that. So we find this owl of the desert is giving us a little scenario of the Christ. Underneath the tail feathers is a bunch of little downy feathers. Thousands. They have never been able to count. They can count the wing feathers, they can count the tail feathers, but they just can't seem to count this little white spot underneath the tail feathers of little white soft downy feathers, an innumerable amount of them. Well, we all know who that represents, don't we? That represents the saints. He said, I saw under the altar a multitude which no man could number, and they were clothed in white robes. How, Lord God Almighty. Lord God, help us today. You know, I'm beginning to understand why preachers don't want to preach to folk anymore. I'd rather go back here in that room and preach this sermon. I get more response out of them walls back there. You know what Jesus said? He said, if you folk don't praise me, these rocks are going to do it. If some of you folk don't get excited praising me, these chairs are going to start out shouting you this morning. Hallelujah. The owl of the desert. Yes, owl is capable of flying straight up, straight down, and straight across. He's also capable of flying clear across the Atlantic Ocean without stopping. No other bird can do it. Nothing hinders this bird. He goes as high as he wants to go. He goes as far as he wants to go. He has no limitations. Huh? You don't know this talking about Jesus, the owl of the desert? He can go anywhere. Meet you anywhere. Touch you anywhere. Find you anywhere. Hallelujah. Where did he find you? Huh? In the lowest valley? On the highest mountain? In the driest desert? In the midst of a flood? Where did he find you? Thank God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You know what else they found out about this owl? They can't find his beginning. They can't tell you where he originated. He's so old, but they can't trace his ancestry. They can't tell you where he came from. Didn't the Bible say God, that Jesus Christ was without father, without mother, without ancestry? Lord God Almighty. I tell you the truth, people. It's the second time I'm preaching it. I'm getting excited about it. It's the third time I listen to it, and I'm getting excited about it. I don't know if y'all sit down with one, two. I don't matter if it's me. I'm telling you something. I just set my soul on fire. It really has. I like it. I'm going to preach this in Michigan too, honey, so just get used to it. I'm going to preach it up there too. Yeah, I'm going to got it all wrote down. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, let's talk about his mate, the bride of Christ, the mate, the church, the church. The mate grows just as tall as he does. The church is going to grow up to the fullest of the stature of the body of Christ. It's going to be equal with God. Joint heirs, equal heirs, Lord God Almighty. Huh? Grows just as tall as he does. Looks exactly like he does. Same color feathers on the outside. Same amount of wings, of feathers on the wings. Come on, amen. The only difference between the male and the female, and there is one specific difference, is this white breast that has the blood spot on the male. On the female, there is no blood spot. We didn't shed blood. He's the only one that gave his life. Hallelujah. He's the one that gave his life. We're of him, part of him, but we did not do it. He did it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Then, remarkable thing about this bird, this female, is that she never feeds herself. She never feeds herself. She is always fed by the male. He goes and gets the food. Now, last night I didn't tell you what kind of food he gets. I'll get that to you in a minute. But he goes and gets the food and he feeds it to her. Isn't the church being fed? Feed me, Lord. Now, you see, when he first mates with her, he only mates with one bird. Only one. Only one female. He never mates with just one. He stays with her till death. Did you say, Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Didn't he say that? When he mates with this church, he said, I'm going to stay with you, church. Hallelujah. We'll be with you right to the end. Huh? And then he feeds the church. He feeds the church. The church doesn't feed itself. You know how he feeds it? This bird will go get the food. He will eat it. He will swallow it. He will digest it. He will bring it back up and he'll feed it to the female already digested. Hey, Lord God Almighty. Don't you know Jesus did everything for us. He was touched in all points. He suffered everything. He tasted everything. Come on, he endured everything. He knows, hallelujah, what you have. And he says, look, you can make it. I made it. I became flesh and blood. You can do it. He feeds you with the hope of his calling. Now, he will feed the female until she produces little ones. Listen to this carefully now. Once she produces little ones, then he does not feed her no more directly. You know that Jesus Christ is not feeding you directly anymore? He goes through the same process. He finds the food. He eats it. He swallows it. He digests it. He brings it back up. And then he gives it to one of the male offspring. Not female. Not female. To the male offspring. Not female. Notice, he takes the food, the word, and he puts it in the hands or the mouth, not of a female, but of a male. See, it's the male's job to feed the female, and so he's going to train the male. He's not going to give it to a female to give it to the mother. That's not her job. Her job is to lay eggs and produce little ones. See, the father starts giving it to the male. Did Jesus do the same thing? You know, people are always arguing with me about God using women like he uses men. Jesus didn't do one thing. He didn't make one woman apostle. Not a one. Not a one. He never made one woman pastor. Never made one woman prophet. If she has a gift of prophecy, she's a prophetess, but she is not a prophet. She cannot fulfill the criteria of a prophet. She can't do it. He does not. He said, you commit the word to faithful men. Gets quiet. You know, that's it. Every time I get on that one, boy. Every time. Especially you precious women. You women start saying, there he goes. Start to put us women down. No, I'm putting you in your place. What's wrong with being in your place? What's wrong with being in your place, lady? What's wrong with being in your place, sir? What's wrong with the place God ordained? You know why it was important for the male to feed the female? Because she was the only one that could lay the eggs. No matter how much he would like to reproduce, he could not reproduce without her. If that female starts taking the position of a male and starts taking on a responsibility of feeding the others, then she cannot reproduce. We got a duck sitting out here. I don't know if it's hatched out yet, has it? We got a duck sitting out here for months, like weeks. And you know what's wrong? I'm not sure we got a male out there. So this duck came into the process of having little ones. She's laid the eggs, but the eggs aren't hatching because there was no male around to fertilize that egg. Those eggs are dead eggs. Should have broke them and ate them, cooked them. The church today is producing a bunch of dead kids. Oh, well, I'll get off of that, huh? Y'all liked all the other things I was talking about, the owl of the desert. How come we don't like when he gave the food to the male? Not to the female. Didn't Jesus do the same thing? Didn't he feed the multitudes? Huh? Didn't he feed people? But when it came time to teach the apostles the proper distribution of the word of God, the Bible said he took the bread. He took the bread, the word, and he broke it, and he gave it to the apostles. And he said, now you give it to the people. The process hasn't changed. God breaks the bread to his men, and they take it and give it to the people. The female does not have the responsibility nor the command to distribute the bread of life. She has the responsibility to bring forth life, not to sustain life. Oh, Lord God. Now, you know what he feeds her? He'll feed her sometimes a rabbit, sometimes a honey, sometimes a fish. And believe it or not, at very rare occasions, he will go out of his way to get her spinach. One of the variable vegetables he feeds her is spinach. Good for the blood. A blood builder. Come on. He believes in the blood. Lord God Almighty. That's all right. That's all right. Y'all just sit there. That's all right. That's all right. She will not eat by herself. She will not pick her own food. You can't fool the true church. You can sit here all morning if you want to. But what I just preached to you today is truth. You know what? You know what? I heard a preacher the other night on the radio again, popping off about how God uses women in the same capacity as men. And I could just feel the damnable spirit of lying. You know why the devil wants to do that? You know why the devil wants to elevate women above men or equal with men? You know what they'll say to me? You know what they'll say to me? They'll say to me, oh, the woman shall compass the man. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Compass means surround. Surround the man. Surround him. Not surpass him. Not get ahead of him. Not get ahead of him. Surround him. Huh? Compass him. Be around him. The man is the center. The woman strengthens the man. Come on, that's God's way. Don't you ever weaken your husband. He's your man. Without him, you will have no head. Don't you ever do that, lady. Don't you ever weaken your husband by trying to take his place or assume his authority. Because that's your head. That's like cutting off your head. A little pastor got upset with me some time ago because he had all these women putting a little doily on their head. You know, one of them little white doilies. And I said, brother, what do you do that for? Well, a woman's supposed to pray with her head covered. I said, but that's not her head. That's not her head. Her head is the man. Her head is the man. And she lets her hair grow long so she looks different than her man. Because if she cuts off her hair to look like her husband or a man, she dishonors her head. If a man wears long hair, he dishonors his head. Because God said a woman should have long hair, and her hair is given to her for a covering, not a man's hair. Christ is our covering. The covering of the woman is the man. Don't get away from it. Don't remove the order. Even the owl of the desert says, let's get it in proper perspective. Now you see, this is a female now. This is the church. This is the spirit of the church. Did you know the church is typified as a female? And females have typical characteristics, don't they? Oh, come on. Sure they do. The world knows it. The church knows it. Well, this little female bird, sometimes she gets discouraged. She can't fly as high as this male. She can't fly as fast. And yet sometimes, but she looks exactly like him. And sometimes she wants to say, I'm as good as you are. And she starts getting discouraged. Now, one more thing I want to say. When he comes, before I get onto the female getting discouraged, when he comes to feed them, when he comes to feed the birds, you know what they do? Just as soon as he's coming in with the food, they all jump up and they begin to cry and scream. They scream and they holler. You know why? It's feeding time. Feeding time. That's what they're trying to get you all to do right here this morning. Feeding time. It's not resting. This is feeding time. Come on. Feeding time. Oh, wow, here he comes with the food. Feeding time. David said it, didn't he? So I was glad when he said, let us go feed. Let us go get something to eat. Huh? You know what he said? He said, I was glad when he said, let us go to the table. To the house of God. Amen. Where I'm going to get fed. Feed me, Jesus! Well, I'm glad the tape recorder's on. I really am. Huh? Now, when she gets mean or depressed, you know what she does? Believe it or not. You know what this female bird has these feathers, and she looks just like the male bird, but the male bird's feathers stop at the knees. The female's feathers go all the way down to the ankle. Amazing, isn't it? And when she gets angry or upset, you know what she starts doing? She starts pulling the feathers out from below the ankles. She starts burying her legs. I'll show you. She gets like the world. She gets like the world. You notice these Christian folk today getting like the world? They're discontented. They ain't satisfied with what God wants. You know, the Bible says that we should learn to be content. How many Christians you know are content? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain. Huh? But they suppose that gain is godliness. They suppose that the more they have materially means the more of God they have. How ridiculous that can be. The world's got much more than the church ever got. If having gain means they're godly, then the world's got more God than most of us got. I can show you right in Somerville, people who serve the devil got more than you got. Better car, better clothes, more money. Come on. Does that mean they got more God? It's ridiculous. When you can learn to be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. How come you don't have all these things? Don't need them. I got God. Lord is my shepherd. What else could I want? Huh? Why, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Why, he leads me beside still waters. Why, he restores my soul. Why, he even leads me in the paths of... What? You mean he expects you to walk in the righteous way? He expects you to live right, do right, and be right? Oh, come on now. So, when the female gets discontent, she starts pulling out the feathers below her knees. You know what he does when he sees that? You talk about being the head of your house? You know what he does? He gives her a wing whipping. He takes those 9 feet wings and he goes on and goes, shoom, 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 shoom. He gives her a whooping. Notice, it's his mate for life, so he's not going to divorce her. He's not going to get rid of her. So he brings her back in line. He's not going to get rid of his church. He's going to bring it back in line. He's going to whoop it. Do you hear me? He's going to whoop it, brother. He's not going to give up on you. Uh-uh. You're his church. You were purchased with his own blood. Come on. He's coming back for a glorious church. You quit pulling them feathers off, lady. You quit letting dressing like the world. Come on, church. You quit running after the world. Love not the world. Come out of here. Whoop. Shoom, shoom, shoom. Can't you Can't you feel the big hand of, big wing of God just whooping the church? Y'all said, come on. I tell you what, from my letters and my telephone calls, I guarantee he's whooping the church, brother. He's doing so. He hadn't he put a whooping on you lately, brother? Put a big old whooping on you. Huh? Straighten up here. Whooping, huh? This is the way. Walk in it. This is the way. And I got news for you. He's going to whoop this church into subjection. He whoops her. Hallelujah. 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 Well, you know God, you know how God does the whooping? Through his males again, through his men. Somebody said to me, they always say to me, you're angry, you're angry, you're angry. And I keep trying to tell them, the reason they feel the anger coming from me is because God is angry! I had a little woman come by here during camp meeting and she said, you trying to tell me God didn't call me to preach? I said, that's right, lady, so I'm telling you. But I've been off preaching somewhere and the anointing of God came on me. I said, let me ask you a question, lady. Where do you go preach? She had a husband and she had two children. She was getting ready to go on a revival again to go preach. I said, your husband going with you? She said, no. I said, you take your children with you? She said, no. I said, you mean to tell me you're going to leave your husband and your children and go preach the gospel? That's not God's way. That's against the word. That's against the word. The Bible says a man can leave his wife to go preach. Come on. But a woman can't leave her husband to go preach. It's not God's. She's to keep her home. She's supposed to stay home there and take care of things so the husband can go do his job so he's free to do what God wants him to do. God, don't break his word. I haven't heard from her since. I thought she listened to me, but I tell you what she did. She went to a church right after that where they had a woman pastor. And they got finished digesting me. They decided I was wrong. I'm not wrong. And that's the reason why God is raising me up across this nation to speak out with finality on this thing. The house will be set back in order. You know the significant thing about the female? She can lay eggs. The average chicken duck can lay eggs. That if she's not fertilized, listen to me closely, if she's not fertilized by the rooster or by the male, the eggs won't hatch. Do you know that the female owl will not lay eggs until she is first fertilized? She will not make the mistake of laying unfertilized eggs. The true church, hallelujah, will get the seed first. Come on, the word of God. Come on, man. You didn't hear what I said. The female desert owl doesn't even lay an egg until after she is fertilized, till after she has been mated, till after she's been made one. Chickens will do it, you know. Chickens, all chicken eggs are not fertile, you know. You can take the rooster out of the chicken yard and the chickens will still lay eggs. You can take the drake away from the ducks and the ducks will still lay eggs. But they won't hatch. All this church we got out here today is laying eggs, but they're not hatching! My God, don't you people hear what I'm saying? They're not hatching! This owl will not lay eggs until after she is mated. After she has made one with her mate. Listen to me carefully now. Then she don't go and lay one egg a day. When she goes to lay eggs, she will lay anywhere from 12 to 24 in one sitting. She's a producer. And they're all fertilized. Every one of them got the seed in them. Come on, Lord God, Almighty, Lord God. God, that's all right. Y'all just sit there. Every one of them will produce. Every one will come forth. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. You get the true church, one with God, one with Christ. It'll produce true children. Come on, yes it will. Every one will come forth. Ain't nothing more devastating to put a bunch of eggs in an incubator like I've done in the past. 30, 40, 50 eggs. And then only 3 or 4 or 5 of them will hatch out. Because the rest of them weren't fertilized. In this nest, everyone hatches out. In this nest. In this nest. In this nest. In this nest, everyone hatches out. You know what happens? The eggs are laid with a hard outer shell. As the life inside the egg starts to grow, it grows inside of a pouch full of water. As it comes time for birth, all at once, the outer egg will break. And the little eagle stays in the pouch of water. He does not come out. He stays in the pouch of water. And the outer shell falls away. As the life inside the egg starts to produce, it gets rid of the outer shell. Lord God have mercy. when the life of God in you starts to produce, it gets rid of the old man, the outer life. Come on, come on. It pops and falls away. Come on, amen. There's no way you're going to bring forth new life with the old shell. There lays the fully formed little owl in a pouch of water. 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 And it lays in the sun. In the sun. In the sun. The mother doesn't sit on it. It lays in the sun up to 2 days. It is dead. It has no life of its own until it bursts forth from the water. Except the man be born of the water. And of the spirit. See, the spirit in the bird is life. But until it bursts forth from the water, it's not made alive. A young man's going to a Seventh-day Adventist church down in Brunswick, Georgia, and he said, I've been trying to get them to baptize me in Jesus' name, and they won't do it. He said, will you do it? I said, yeah, come on up here. We'll go get you down in the water. We'll get them in the water. Yes, my brother and sister, when that little owl comes forth, he does a remarkable thing. Is that little owl's 10 or 12 or 15 of them laying in one spot with just a pouch of water. The outer edge is gone now. The outer shell is already gone. And there lays the little owl in this pouch of water in the warm sun. And all at once, it bursts the water. And out comes a fully formed owl. It looks like its daddy and it looks like its mama. Come on, amen. Looks exactly like them. You can tell it's the offspring of the owl of the desert, Lord God Almighty. Can they tell? No, never mind. I'm going to do it this bunch here this morning.
Somebody says, it don't make no difference how you look.
You know the first thing the owl does when it breaks the water? The first thing it does when it breaks the water is it starts to scream and yell just like its daddy. You make no mistake that you have just seen the birth of a desert owl. It identifies itself by its language. You get filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to talk like your daddy. You're going to talk in a spirit language because God's a spirit. You're going to talk like your daddy. You're going to talk like your mama. Come on, amen, because we're born of the spirit. Come on, people. If you're born of the spirit, you're going to have spirit language. I don't believe in talking in tongues. I hear folks say, my God, hallelujah. One of the greatest communications God ever gave us. That's why the devil even spoiled that. Why do you think the devil has made tongue talking so popular amongst hypocrites? Because he can destroy the credibility of it. But that don't do away with it. Hypocrites pray, but we don't stop praying. Hypocrites shout, but we don't stop shouting. Hypocrites talk in tongues, but we don't stop talking in tongues. Hypocrites, hallelujah, say they're living holy when they let the devil, but we live holy and live right too. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. We don't follow their pattern. Now I'm going to be through here in about 5, 10, 15 minutes. You know, there are times when the female gets an urge to fly with the male. I mean, she gets tired of just sitting in the nest, you know, and just waiting to be fed. So sometimes she'll sort of let him know, I'd like to go with you a little bit. Take me to these places you go to. Now, she can't fly as fast as he does. And she can't fly as high as he does. You know how high he flies? He has been seen at 50,000 feet in the air. 10 miles up. Some years ago, a 747 was flying and it was been told by the control tower there was a storm ahead of it. And they told this plane to fly 50,000 feet. And when he got up there, all of a sudden he went hysterical. He said, I see a bird up here. It's a giant owl. And they checked it every way they could possibly check it. And he said, the bird is right outside my window. And they thought the man was crazy, but they finally find it as one of these desert owls flying at 10 miles high. All at once the pilot said, hey, he just went higher. And a few minutes later he said, he just went past me faster than I'm going. Oh, hallelujah. The old male bird. The owl of the desert, the king of kings, who can go to the highest of the highest and the lowest of the lowest and go the fastest of the fastest. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now the female, the church, cannot fly as high. Neither can she fly as fast. But sometimes she'll say, see, she's made it to him for life. He's our only source of food supply. She's our only source of protection and strength. And she's made it to him. She's his mate. They tell us that he won't even flirt with another one. He's satisfied with his mate, his church. He whoops it in line. Come on. Huh? But every once in a while, he'll let her fly with him. And she can fly to 10,000 feet with him. 10,000 feet. But she can't fly as fast. And so he has to sort of take it easy. But 10,000 feet ain't nothing. She'll never see what he sees. She'll never go where he goes at 10,000 feet. So you know what he does? He banks to the left. And he comes underneath her. She folds her wings. She pulls up her legs. And she drops between his wings on her back. He says, now, come on, baby. I'm going to show you where we're going to go. And he starts going up higher. He says, look, just let me take you there. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. I'll take you to heights you've never been. I'll take you to places you can never go. Come on, Lord God Almighty. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Why don't we learn? Commit your way unto him. He said, we are made to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. They that wait upon the Lord to renew their strength, mount up on his wings like the eagle. Come on. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I am the desert owl. You know how fast the 747 flies? Over 500 miles an hour. This owl can fly as fast as that and faster. Nothing man can make is faster than God. A present help. He can be here working a miracle and 10,000 miles away just like that. Hallelujah. Come on, son. Instant, in season, out of season. He's there. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Most of the owls fly at night because they cannot stand the daylight. That's why you don't see owls in the daytime. They have actually two coatings that cover their eyes. Two lids. Because they cannot stand the daylight. But this owl not only flies in the day, but it flies directly into the sun, looking right at it. The brightness of the sun does not affect the sight of this owl. Jesus said, you are not children of the night, but children of the day. And when you fly with me, you can look the sun right in the face. You can look him right. You can come boldly to the throne of grace and look him right in the face. Come on. Hey, my God, have mercy. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, what does this have to do with the day and hour in which you and I are living in? If you'll turn with me to Isaiah chapter 34. And we're going to read something here. We're living in the very end of time. We're living right in the time when God said he's going to destroy the world. And I want you to listen to this here. If you could read, when you get home, read from the 34th chapter and to stop me from reading the whole thing. Read the whole thing. But I want to pick up at verse 8. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance. Did he say vengeance is mine? And the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. I'm going to settle this thing, God says. It's time to bring this thing to an end. Look what he says now. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch. And the dust thereof into brimstone. And the land thereof shall become burning pitch. You see what God's saying here? I'm going to destroy this wicked generation of mankind. It shall not be quenched night or day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever from generation to generation. It shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. God says, when I'm done bringing this judgment and this vengeance, sin will no more reign upon the face of the earth. Evil will no more be there. Look what else he says. But the coronet and the bitten shall possess it. The owl, notice the owl. The owl, not the desert owl, just the owl. The other owls, the false gods. The false gods, listen to it, also shall possess it. The raven shall dwell it. He shall stretch out upon it. In the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. You can't see that picture today. All these gods, all these religions, all these churches, all this confusion, all this emptiness. They shall call the nobles to the kingdom, but none shall be there. And all our princes shall be nothing. Their might, their power, their organizations will mean nothing. The thorn shall come up in her palaces. Nettles and brambles in the fortresses thereof. And it shall be a habitation of dragons.
and a court for the owls.